You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. So we continue in 1 John this morning, this being the fourth Sunday of the Eastertide season. I'm in 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. There is a version of it from the Common English Bible in your bulletin. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. John writes, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. But whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother or sister in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him? Little children, let's not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will set our heart at ease before him. That if our heart condemns us, that God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments remains in him and he in him. We know by this that he remains in us by the Spirit whom he has given us." So the question John is trying to get us to respond to is, how do we know love? It's kind of a universal question for believers and unbelievers alike. Everybody's for looking for love, and most of us are looking for love in all the wrong places. So John reminds us, you like that? John reminds us here, this is how we've come to understand and experience love. Not the worldly love that the song refers to, but the godly love, the true divine love of God. This is how we've come to understand and experience it through Jesus Christ, who sacrificed his life for us. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but you turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, John asks the question, when you do that, what happens to God's love? And his answer is, when you do that, God's love disappears. It goes up in smoke. It turns into vapor. And who made it disappear? Well, you did if you saw someone in need and didn't help. So we have this responsibility to our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we see them in need, we can't be bystanders. We have to be actors. We have to do something. Whatever's within our power, and really not whatever's within our power, but whatever the power of Christ in us compels us to do. John tells us here that the way we know God loves us is that he sacrificed his Son Jesus for us. It's in our communion liturgy, isn't it? Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. We know God's love for us because he gave his one and only Son. Isn't that right? It's pretty telling, isn't it? We remember John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. We know God's love and we identify it by God's action on our behalf, giving his one and only son for us. God has given us the ability to love and to experience love. Without God, we can't do either of those things. He's seen to it that we have that capability. It's how God made us. It's part of his grand design for us to have the ability to love him first and foremost because he first loved us, but also to love one another with that unconditional Greek word, agape love, that radiates through us and out of us and requires nothing in return from the recipient of that love. It's a love we give without expecting anything in return. And John points out here that when we fail to exercise that love ability that God gives us to our fellow believers, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, then God's love ceases to radiate out from us. And when that happens, nobody benefits. We don't benefit, and certainly no one else benefits. So John is telling us here, let's all practice real love. That's what he says. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. It's the only way we'll know we're living, truly living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down that debilitating self-criticism. Even when there's something to it. Because if we're honest about it, when we look in the mirror, we can find fault. We all fall short of the glory of God. But it shouldn't debilitate us into inaction towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the reason for that is God is greater than our worried hearts and knows more about us than we know about ourselves. We can be our own worst critics, can't we? Yeah. Amen. Sometimes we're so hard on ourselves that we tend to cocoon ourselves. You ever feel like a little worm in a cocoon? Sometimes you just want to shut everything out and wrap yourself in a blanket and become a human burrito. We shut ourselves off from the fellowship of other believers. We isolate ourselves. We cut off communion with one another and with God. We cut off relationship with God by shunning the Holy Spirit. When you get into that cocoon, it's not a good place. It might feel comfortable and safe. But if you isolate yourself from the love of God and from what he has for you, that's not a good place. We cut off the love faucet. The love of God ceases to flow to us, and then it ceases to flow from us to others. And once again, as John says, nobody wins. There's no winners there. John says, don't do that. But rather, open the floodgates and let the love of God pour out of you. Practice real love. Don't just talk about it. Actually do it. Put love in motion, and then everybody wins. Because love is God's divine nature. And we, in the image and likeness of God, have been given the God-given ability to love and also the mandate, the command to love. John says, once that's taken care of, and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, being our own worst critics, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we asked for because we're doing what he said and we're doing what pleases him. Did an angel get his wings?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. See, God's command is to believe in his personally named son. As we keep his commands, we live deeply and surely. Deeply and surely in Christ. And he lives in us. And this is how we experience this deep, abiding presence in us by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that he gives us. You see the power of God's love working in you, giving you power and authority to accomplish the purpose that God has for you as you move about the kingdom. Love is God's divine nature. Anytime we fall in line with who God is, anytime we lose our human nature and take on God's nature, it frees us, empowers us to do the work of God in the kingdom. Because we're free. We're free from the oppression of sin. We're free from the chains of culture and the chains of the world. We're free to experience the love of God for ourselves. When we have a contrite and obedient heart, listening to the commands of God and putting them into action, that honors God and pleases him. And then he responds with favor to us. Because we're abiding in him and he in us. So just to be clear, what is he commanding us to do here? John tells us very directly and clearly. This is his commandment, he says, that we should believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as Jesus commanded us. And why should we do that? John tells us, all who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Holy Spirit that he has given us. It's a remarkable thing to abide in God's love. It's an open invitation to join him and the Holy Spirit and the Son of God in the throne room of God to be part of communion with the Trinity. It's a powerful thing. This is the love relationship that we get to experience with God the Father as a child of the Most High God. Those who keep his commandments live in him, and he lives in us. We abide together. And what's more, when we do that, then he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lives in us, abides in us, and we get to experience, enjoy a reciprocal relationship with God the Father, just the way he created us to do. It's a powerful thing. You let that sink in. See, my prayer for all of us in this Eastertide season is that we would come to a deeper relationship with our Father in heaven by practicing love. Real love. Love in truth and in action, just as he commanded us to do. If we can write this on the prayer list and simply say, love one another, and then pray about that. Thank you, Tess. Love one another just as he commanded. in truth, and in action, more than words. But real, practiced, experienced, lived out love for one another. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.